Hello and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Isaac,
and I'm Josh.
Welcome, Josh. Welcome to the Bingeables podcast. Thank you so much for coming on as a guest. We are delighted to have you with us.
Hello. Yeah, glad to be here.
So for our regular listeners who aren't familiar with you and your Beer with Buffy podcast, would you like to briefly introduce yourself?
I can do that. I'd like to quickly observe a age-old Beer with Buffy tradition and
woo!
Open my beer. Oh, that's delicious. I'm drinking a sweet Water Street, which is made in my hometown, Kalamazoo, Michigan. It is a collaboration beer that pays an ode to a coffee shop and a donut shop from my hometown and made by another brewery called One Well, I think. Yeah.
Wait.
Definitely. So check in the can right now. And that is the case. I thought I was right. Yes, Isaac?
The donut shop. So is this beer like sweet?
Yeah, it's
okay.
What do you call it? I want to say it is a coffee donut porter is what they call it. So we have a coffee shop called Water Street Cafe. It's kind of a chain, but it's a local chain. And then we have another local chain called Sweet Waters Donuts. So therefore, a Sweet Water Street is the name of the beer.
I see.
It's
okay.
Really clever. Because I always get caught up when I'm talking about one or the other, and I say the other name, you know, like your grandparents when they're trying to call all the grandkids' names and they say every single one of them except for you until last. But yeah, so I do Beer with Buffy with my co-host Rex Hansen, and we do we call it a retroanalytical love roast of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where every episode we run down one episode per of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We make fun of it, but we also love it, and we have a great time with it. And we've been off the air for a couple of months because of all this coronavirus COVID-19 crap, but we just recorded our first new episode in a couple of months, hot and live out here in my grandma's garage. And that is also where I am recording now today with you guys. And hopefully you're going to get the better end of the sound quality. Our episode was very echoey the other day.
We'll see. I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. I was like, Grandma, I need some old sheets because I can deal with bad sound quality for my own podcast, but I don't feel right about giving crappy sound quality to another podcast. So I'm very proud of my setup right now. It might be the most professional I've ever felt, even though I am in my grandma's garage.
Did she give you a strange look when you asked for old sheets?
She's so nice. I can't even tell when she thinks. I know she thinks I'm super weird anyway, because I'm like 35 and I still live at my mom's house and I've never been married. So, and my job situation is a little not great right now either. I was doing better before the lockdown, but because I work at two different theaters in town, specifically high school auditoriums. And so, you know, that was the first thing to get closed down, schools and theaters.
Right.
So I'm pretty well out of work, but I am still getting paid from one of them. So I'm okay for a little while.
All right.
Well, I really hope things work out. I mean, yeah, just hang in there. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. It's really tough for a lot of people, and I don't want to seem like insensitive.
Yeah, no, that's... I think it would be hilarious if you were to be super insensitive right now.
Yeah, get a job, hippie.
Exactly. I'm sorry, Josh. I need you to tone it down a little. You're being a drag.
Oh, I love South Park.
I didn't even remember that that is Mr. Garrison, isn't it?
Mr. Mackey going, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I do it all the time on Beer with Buffy. I have so many little TV mannerisms that have just wormed their way into my everyday speech. I've had to slowly replace all of the lines from Ace Ventura that I used to quote all the time because that has gotten progressively less and less, popular, and B, what's the word? Socially acceptable.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Because Ace Ventura 1 did not age well.
Yeah, isn't that... Yeah, it's like 20 years old now, right? Maybe a little older?
I think it came out in 94.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
it's like...
It's pushing 30.
2026, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah, I was like, I kind of remember it from when I was a kid, but I could have been in high school. I'm not really sure. Yeah, 94. Yeah, I was definitely like 10.
Well, Josh, what are some of your favorite shows and movies?
Shows and movies. Oh, dear. Well, I really loved Breaking Bad, and I've been enjoying Better Call Saul recently. Definitely that was helping me out towards the beginning of lockdown. I was getting caught up on that, and they were still releasing new episodes for a couple of weeks there, so I had that to look forward to. I was able to catch up on Star Trek Discovery. I was very ashamed of myself for not having seen any of that and knowing that it was on the air for a couple of years, and I've been a huge Trekkie.
Is it good?
Since college. I really liked it. You haven't seen it?
No. So I love The Next Generation, and I've watched Deep Space Nine and Voyager as well, and I just watched Picard, but no, I haven't seen Discovery.
Okay. Yeah, I've got Picard all loaded up, and I've only seen the first few episodes of it, and I need to finish that up as well. But I felt like I kept hearing so many bad things about Discovery, but I thought they did amazing things with it. It kind of felt like... It didn't have that classic Star Trek feel to it that I like, but I'm sure people said the same thing about The Next Generation compared to the original, you know?
I mean, they had to have, right? They're very different shows.
They're very different. And Discovery, I felt like, took an entirely new take on the space exploration thing and melded it so well with all the old tropes of Star Trek, like the alternate universe.
Universe A?
But that whole concept, you know, like when Spock had the little goatee and all, everybody's evil on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I never said I was a good Trekkie. but I really appreciated it. I love a good time travel flick, and they made that a heavy portion of the plot throughout each season, both seasons.
Okay. Did you ever watch Voyager?
Yes. Voyager was my second least favorite in the Star Trek continuum. Original Star Trek, I thought for the most part, was boring. There were like three episodes that I actually liked. And it was just interesting to watch it because it's so it's got so many classic things in it. Like when you actually hear William Shatner do the Shatner voice, I'm going to kill someone. You know that thing. Like there's only a couple of times he actually does it for realsies. But when he does, it's amazing and it's worth the wait. Like, I just watched 2.5 seasons of TV for that one moment and I don't regret it.
Since you shared the recent shows that you've been watching, we can go ahead and talk about what we've also been recently binging on, too.
Sure.
Why, yes, please do.
I guess I'll start. Hulu is... they're releasing weekly episodes of season 2 of What We Do in the Shadows, and I've been watching that as they come out, and it's great. Season two is just as good as season one. No complaints there. And I'm actually watching, I haven't watched anime in a while. I used to watch anime like all the time growing up and in college, but I'm kind of starting to go back into that and watching stuff I haven't, that I should be watching, that some of my other friends recommend. There's this series actually available on Netflix called Kakegurui. I might be saying that wrong, but it's supposed to translate to compulsive gambler. And it is intense.
Cool. Yeah, I've been wanting to get back into anime myself as well. But I thank you for mentioning What We Do in the Shadows. I didn't say that one because I saw it on your section of the notes, but that show is amazing, and I was catching up on that as well. I've still got more of season two to watch. But I saw the movie for the first time like a year ago, and I was like, oh my God, this is genius. And then a TV show came out, and I was like, oh, they're going to ruin it. But then it was even better, and yeah, it's amazing.
Isaac, what have you been watching?
So I just finished this anime called Record of Grand Crest War. It's good. It starts out better than it finishes, I think. I think the ending is satisfying, but it feels like they were summarizing a manga, and they were like, well, there is all this character development that we could do, and we could make this easily like 50 episodes, but nah, screw that. We'll just do 26 and we'll summarize the thing.
It was 26 episodes?
Yeah.
Is this a recent anime or an older one?
No, it's recent, I think. Because the creator also did something called Record of Lotus War. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that one's easily 20 years old, I think, or 15, because I remember like hearing about it when I was in college, so it's been a while.
I thought the days of anime having 20-plus episodes was over.
No, I'm almost certain Detective Conan's still going with its, like, 1,000 episodes.
Are they all still, are they all doing way less episodes now? I'm way behind on that scene.
Yeah, 13. Well, it depends on how popular it gets, but yeah, if it doesn't get popular, you're going to get 13 episodes and they're going to call it done.
I think it's normal to expect like 10 to 13 episodes in a season nowadays. Most of the shows that we cover on the podcast, we haven't done anime specifically.
Well, yeah, but I was talking about anime specifically.
But the anime I have noticed, they do have shorter seasons now, like other shows.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed to admit that the last anime I probably tried to watch in earnest was Inuyasha. And literally all I remember of it at this point is thus. Inuyasha! Kagome! Inuyasha! Kagome! And that's the whole show.
Okay.
The whole show.
You don't have to be embarrassed about that. That's I mean, listen, I watched like almost all of Naruto and I only did like the first 63 episodes of Bleach. I tried to watch after that and I couldn't follow or didn't want to follow. But yeah. Oh, and the other thing, I think I've stopped binging now. Was Community. It does really good in the first few seasons, and then as much as I'm sure Chevy Chase was like not good for the actors to work with, like his character helped make the show. Then when he was gone and Donald Glover's character was gone, I was like, I don't know if I want to keep watching.
Yeah. I surprisingly really enjoyed Chevy Chase's character as well, which bothered me because I know that he's a huge asshole.
Right, yeah. It seems like the problem was that he wasn't playing a character on the show.
Exactly. Yeah, they definitely wrote it well for him. I think they knew what they were working with and what they were getting themselves into.
Yeah.
Like, the word on the street is definitely seasons 1 through 4 are fantastic. 5 and 6, if you're a completionist, go for it. But there's really no reason to watch.
I mean, that sounds about right.
Ah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So before we get into actually talking about solar opposites. Josh, would you like to share your social media handles for our audience?
I've really only got one that I like to share publicly, and that is our Twitter handle is @BeerWithBuffy. And we're also on Facebook. Just search Beer with Buffy. We have a Beer with Buffy business page or group page, but we also have Beer with Buffy group, which is more for chatting. The other one is more for us to post news and new episodes.
Yeah. All right.
Shamelessly promote yourselves, right?
That is correct.
So we are here today to talk about the animated sci-fi Hulu series, Solar Opposites. This is our spoiler-free preview where we will give an overview and what we think, why we think you should watch it. God, I fucked that up. I don't know what's wrong with me today.
It's okay. We'll leave it in. We won't even
I thought it sounded lovely.
Says you. Says you.
I think it gives it personality and charm.
Exactly.
There it is.
Josh, would you like to read off the official synopsis of Solar Opposites?
Oh, crap. I should have written a mom synopsis. Oh, well. Our synopsis for today, Solar Opposites, is about a family of aliens' move to Middle America, where they debate whether life is better there or on their home planet. There it is.
Yes, there it is. I feel like that's not a really good characterization of the show.
Yeah, that's like the background that they just shoehorned into the opening sequence.
I mean, I don't even know whether they debate it. Like, I feel like Corvo is definitely like, Earth sucks, and Terry's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's more of an ongoing argument and dysfunction, really.
Isaac, would you like to talk about the co-creators really quick?
Not really, but I'll do it anyway. it's...
You see what I have to live with?
It's created with by I do, Justin Roiland so and Mike McCann. Or wait, hold on.
Mike McMahon? McMahon?
Mike
McMahon.
Mike McMahon, yeah, okay.
That's how you spell McMahon. There's an extra H in there.
They throw
don't
in
you
an
worry H-A none too
to kind of like make you... think you need to add another syllable in there.
Yeah, to make you think that you need to go back to grade school. They're just being pretentious. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. Have you seen my last name? Good Lord. All right.
I don't think I have.
All right. Listeners should probably know that Justin Roiland also co-created Rick and Morty and voices Rick. I think, doesn't he also voice Morty? I'm pretty sure he does.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen him at a Comic-Con thing, like, doing both voices on stage. And McCann has also worked on Rick and Morty, I'm pretty sure, as a writer and executive producer. I didn't actually know the executive producer thing. I just read that. But I was looking it up earlier, and I knew he was a writer.
So I did a little bit of research on the co-creators, didn't really find anything else other than that they obviously worked on Rick and Morty together. But we can move on to the main cast members. Obviously, as you just said, Justin Roiland, he voices Rick on Rick and Morty, and he also voices Corvo in Solar Opposites. So when I first started watching Solar Opposites, like, I kept having to tell myself, it's Rick's voice, but it's not Rick, but it kind of is Rick.
Yeah, because he's still kind of a little bit of a grumpy old man.
He's definitely a little bit modeled after Rick. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I think just the right amount.
So he voices Corvo, who is the blue alien on the show, and he's like... I guess you could say he's the one in charge. He's supposed to be fixing the ship, and he doesn't really do that at all.
I would say he's the one in charge, and he's just got Bubkiss to work with.
Yeah, yeah. Like he is not like well equipped for the job at hand.
Yeah, I mean, there's more to talk about that one of the episodes once we get into the episode specific, but I'll just watch over that for now and let you get back to what you were saying.
We'll let that be a little teaser, like, ooh, there's things to come. Listen to the next episode too.
Oh my.
We've got Thomas Middleditch as Terry. He was Richard Hendricks on HBO's Silicon Valley.
You just not realize that?
I did not realize that was his voice.
What?
I did not. And what's funny is I watched that thing with him on Netflix where he's doing an improv show with
Ben Schwartz.
Yeah. From Parks and Rec.
Uh-huh.
God, what was his character on Parks and Rec? He was
John Ralphio.
John Ralphio, yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Remind me, who's John Ralphio? Give me a full description. I've seen that whole show. I just can't put a face with the name.
So you remember, oh God, who's the guy that... So from Arrested Development, there's their lawyer. Crap.
Okay, you're terrible at this.
Oh, the Fonz from Happy Days. It's his son.
No, you're terrible at this. Okay, I'm going to explain. John Ralphio is Tom's business, quote-unquote business partner for entertainment.
720.
He's the guy who's always, like, doing scams and, like, getting into car accidents so he can get the money.
We're talking about Parks and Rec, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
None of that sounds familiar to me at all.
None of that sounds familiar? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Tom, played by Aziz Ansari, you remember him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he's got, like, a best friend that's, like, always dreaming up scams or trying to, like... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He was a lawyer?
No. His dad was a lawyer. On the show.
Which show?
Oh, actually, his dad was a doctor on the show.
Okay, God, you're terrible. Stop talking. Just stop.
No. Go on. This is amazing.
Okay, so the guy that played the Fonz played the lawyer on Arrested Development, played John Ralphio's dad on Parks and Rec. And I really wish I could remember his name.
What's amazing is you're lucky that I've seen all of Arrested Development as well, and I know exactly who you mean. Well, I mean, who doesn't know exactly who you mean when you say the Fonz? Henry Winkler.
Right?
That's his
name.
There
we go. That's his name, Henry Winkler.
But you're not saying Henry Winkler is the one on Parks and Rec, right?
I mean, Henry Winkler was on Parks and Rec. He played John Ralphio's dad, or the actor Ben Shapiro.
But we're talking about Thomas Middleditch still.
Yes.
How did we get from...
Because Ben Shapiro and Thomas Middleditch did an improv show on Netflix. It's got 3 episodes. It's actually pretty funny.
Ben Schwartz.
Why do I keep saying Shapiro? I'm so wrong. It's Ben Schwartz. Thank you.
It's a common mistake. They both have the same first name. Yeah.
This is why This is why you have me in your life, Isaac.
I just want to say I thought it was amazing that you started out describing who a character was on Parks and Rec by starting with a character from a completely different show.
Yes.
Without confirming whether or not I had seen that show. And that was special.
I mean, we're roughly the same age. I assume we've watched mostly the same things.
Probably. You're probably. It was a safe assumption. I absolutely had. So we've got this unspoken bond already. I'm sorry, Chin Lin, but I'm going to have to come meet Isaac and we might have to run off together. Wow. Awkward silence. Chirp, chirp, chirp. It's okay. I don't know where you live.
No, it's okay. We live in the suburbs of Dallas. So
what?
That's a relatively small area. I'm sure you can find us.
Okay, so back to we have two more actors to touch on really quick. Sean Gianbroni. I hope I'm saying that right. Gianbroni. He voices Yumulak, who is the replicant child alien of Corvo. And if anyone, I don't know, Josh, if you have watched any ABC family comedies, but he was Adam on The Goldbergs, and that's kind of where he got his start.
The actor for Yum-Yulak?
Yes.
Okay, I've not seen any of that.
Isaac and I binged on it a while back, and we kind of just stopped, but it's like an 80s family comedy about, it's actually created by Adam Goldberg. Like, yes. It's about his life growing up in the 80s.
Neat.
In a suburb of Philadelphia. It's actually pretty good, at least for the first 3 seasons.
Yeah. Currently, Sean Giambroni, he voices in the animated series Harley Quinn, and he's also voiced in Big Hero 6, the series. And then last but not least, we have Mary Mack, who voices Jessie. I did some research on Mary Mack, and I think she's more known for her comedy. She's released like 4 comedy albums. And she's done a few voices on Golan the Insatiable and Isaac, one of your favorite animated series, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Do you know who she was on Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
I don't know. Look it up on IMDb.
Ah, that's too much work.
must have been Meatball. I guarantee it was Meatball or Meatwad.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
Yeah, I'm joking entirely, but I'd laugh my ass off.
Yeah,
because
I'm pretty sure Meatwad was voiced by a guy.
Yeah, the 3 main characters, I'm pretty sure, are all guys. I don't know. She could have been Shake. Could have been Shake.
No, okay. The voice of Shake is also the voice of the alchemist on Venture Brothers.
Ugh.
Pretty sure that's a guy.
I'm just shooting in the dark here, so.
So we're moving on to fun facts about solar opposites. I'm just going to read all of it. It's just stuff that I found from like IMDb, Wikipedia, some publications like Sci-Fi Wire. I learned that solar opposites was actually originally supposed to be created for Fox, but the project got shelved and it moved to Hulu. And I'm so glad they moved it to Hulu because it's so violent and like it wouldn't be the same show if it was on Fox.
It's true. It's true. I enjoy the swearing.
The swearing, the
how easily things are killed and splatter.
Oh my God. I thought it was gratuitous. Like I was like, really, guys? Is that really necessary? Am I just getting old?
It's not necessary, but I don't know, some of it, like, because it happens so quickly, like, where, nope, that's a spoiler, but some of the violence happens so quickly that I'm like, oh, wow, okay, that escalated really fast. Did
exactly.
Not think that that's where this was going.
So, obviously, big hint, listeners, this is a more violent animated series, definitely not kid-friendly.
What?
Don't watch this with your kids.
Nuh-uh. You stick your 5-year-olds right in front of this and you just let it go.
Yeah, I think episode 7 is just perfect for children.
No.
It's right up there with Frozen. It's the exact same show almost.
Yeah, almost same thing.
According to Wikipedia, Hulu greenlit 2 seasons with a total of 16 episodes, so we know for sure there will be a season 2, and it will also have 8 episodes with it. And then one of the co-creators, Mike McMahon, he told Sci-Fi Wire, I thought this was nice to just pull this quote, "I love sci-fi, so we wanted something that looked like it could fit next to Family Guy or The Simpsons on a billboard, but then you got closer to it, it got weirder and weirder."
That's accurate.
Do you think that's a good description?
Yeah, like from first glance, you're like, oh, it's kind of a, you know, it's another one of these animated shows that's meant to be primetime. It's going to be a little bit of adult humor, but, you know, whatever. And then, yeah, you actually watch it and you're like, no, this is, that's, It's kind of in that vein, but it's definitely more strange.
And then last, according to The Hollywood Reporter, when they did an interview with Justin Roiland, Solar Opposites and Rick and Morty are indeed set in the same universe.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that so that they can have like a crossover episode or?
I mean, probably I would expect that in season
I mean,
two.
there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you need that to happen because, you know, with Rick and Morty, like Rick's got the power to do whatever, so he can just be like, "Oh yeah, I found another dimension that's, you know, got like this is happening in it. It's weird. We're not going to stay here though and leave." So
Well, there's nothing stopping them from doing a crossover anyway. However, I do want to point out that I don't think it would fit the canon of either show, because I feel like there's a lot that you can pick apart with Rick and Morty, and I feel like this show is a little more fluffy, and like they're just trying to be tongue in cheek and break the fourth wall a lot. But also, one thing I specifically noticed about Rick and Morty is that they go out of their way to specifically make sure that you know that they don't do time travel. That's not a thing on the show. They don't ever want you to come to the conclusion. And there's even one spot where Rick steps back through a portal and says, "Oh, by the way, they just left these pizzas on the counter. It wasn't time travel or anything." But there is a box on his shelf labeled time travel stuff, but they never, ever, ever use time travel throughout all of Rick and Morty. And slight spoiler alert, they do use time travel in Solar Opposites, so I'm not sure how that would mesh with each other. So obviously Rick has thought of time travel and is probably capable of doing it, but probably smart enough to never do it because he knows what catastrophes it can cause. So that I think would be an interesting way for them to broach the subject of a crossover episode.
I think you're right in that I don't see any real benefit from the crossover necessarily because like you said, like Rick and Morty is, I don't know, I kind of wanted to say this on the other episode, but it's
No, save it.
We can
okay,
save
fine.
it. It'll be there. If you want to hear the rest of Isaac's thoughts, listen to the full episode. After you binge Solar Opposites, it's the hook. We got a hook now. Haha.
Yes.
So, last but not least, we're going to end with our thoughts on why we think geeks should watch this show. And Isaac, I'm going to let you start.
You should like geeks should watch this show because like it's a good sci-fi show. So I've watched Rick and Morty. I've watched Solar Opposites, and I honestly kind of prefer Solar Opposites. It's if you just want to watch something that's good and funny and sci-fi-y, this is a great show for that. And like Josh alluded to, like they do some fourth wall breaks that are good, and I think it's a well-crafted show. And because of the sci-fi theme, I think it's perfect for geeks.
And for me, I was gonna say that I think the show is has a good balance of that crude humor and the family fun side of things. And there's like three different plots. There's like a main A plot and B plot, and then there's also the C plot, which I mean, obviously, y'all know what I'm talking about, but listeners, you'll be delighted by a C plot once you start binging the show. I think there's a good balance of these three plot lines throughout the 8 episodes, and 8 episodes goes by really fast, so you could literally binge this in a day.
I did.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to be a fan of Rick and Morty, so I've watched seasons 1 and 2 of Rick and Morty. Personally, I thought it was funny, but it's just not my kind of show, so I wasn't I wasn't really sure about Solar Opposites going into it, but after watching Solar Opposites twice now, I can definitely say that you don't have to be a fan of Rick and Morty to enjoy Solar Opposites, because the tone of Solar Opposites is just way different.
My turn?
Yes, yes, please.
Yes, you will conclude this spoiler-free episode.
Splendid! Alrighty, so if you like shock value, gratuitous violence, gratuitous swearing, and characters that don't seem to particularly have much motivation to how two-dimensional they are, this would be a great show for you. I think you're going to notice a heavy theme of me being a bit of a devil's advocate to Chin Lin and Isaac here, because I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I really didn't like Solar Opposites the way that I thought I was going to, because
oh, no.
I absolutely love Rick and Morty, and I love that Rick and Morty gets so heavy, and it always feels unique, and it has, like, it blows my mind, and I am hard-pressed to think of an episode that I didn't like. Sure, there's episodes that I thought weren't as good as others, or that I'm like, yeah, I can pass on this one, but I still like and appreciate the episodes. Whereas this show hardly made me laugh at all. The few rare occasions where I did laugh, I made sure to take a note of it because I was so surprised that I was laughing all of a sudden. Now, yes, when you're talking about the A, B, and the C plot, I know exactly what you're talking about with C plot, and it is probably the best plot of the entire show, even though it is the C plot, and it will probably be what this show is remembered for, if anything.
Actually, I'm glad you said that, because I actually agree as well about the C plot. But yeah, we'll save more of those thoughts for the spoiler episode.
Yeah, let me just wrap up real quick. So I'm not saying you shouldn't watch the show or that you won't like the show, because obviously I can't possibly know everybody that's listening to this show right now. I'm just going to say, if you're expecting Rick and Morty, it's not, and you should give it a try anyway. But yeah, because it does have good things about it. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
All right. I think that's a good way to wrap up. We're all coming from this from different points of views.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Josh, for taking the time to do this spoiler-free recording with us. And listener, stay tuned for the spoiler episode next week. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
We hope you join us on this binge-watching journey.
Before you leave, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And if you enjoy listening to this episode and all our other podcast episodes, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can also connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time.
The Bingeables podcast is produced by patron Raymond G.
And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.